People were hurrying towards him, and he had to quell an automatic urge to turn and run, especially when one of them shouted, "Yeah, that's him!" He recognised the greengrocer from this morning. An elderly couple were trailing behind him. The older man, who had the determined face and upright bearing of a man who subdued cabbages daily, stopped an inch in front of Moist and bellowed, "Are you the postman, young man?" "Yes, sir, I suppose I am," said Moist. "How can I—" "You delivered me this letter from Aggie here. I'm Tim Parker," the man roared. "Now, there's some people that say it was a bit on the late side." "Oh," said Moist. "Well, I—" "That took a bit of nerve, young man." "I'm very sorry that—" Moist began. People skills weren't much good in the face of Mr. Parker. He was one of the impervious people whose grasp of volume control was about as good as his understanding of personal space.
"Sorry?" Parker shouted. "What have you got to be sorry about? Not your fault, lad. You weren't even born. More fool me for things you didn't care, eh? Ha! I was so downhearted, lad, I went right out and joined the, his red face wrinkled. You know, camels, funny hats, sand. Where you going to forget?"
"The Clatchian Foreign Legion," said Moist.
"That was it. And when I came back, I met Sadie, and Aggie had met her Frederick, and we both got settled and forgot the other one was alive. And then blow me down if this letter didn't arrive from Aggie. Me and my lad have spent half the morning tracking her down. And to cut a long story short, lad, we're getting married Saturday. 'Cause of you, boy."
Mr. Parker was one of those men who turn into teak with age. When he slapped Moist on the back, it was like being hit with a chair.
"Won't Frederick and Sadie object?" Moist wheezed.
"I doubt it. Frederick passed away 10 years ago, and Sadie's been buried up in Small Gods for the last 5, Mr. Parker bellowed cheerfully. "And we were all sorry to see him go, but as Aggie says, it was all meant to be, and you were sent by a higher power. And I say, it took a man with real backbone to come and deliver that letter after all this time. There's many that would have tossed it aside like it was of no account. You do me, and the future second Mrs. Parker, a great favour if you was to be guest of honour at our wedding, and I, for one, won't take no for an answer. I'm a Grand Master of the Guild of Merchants this year, too. We might not be posh like the assassins or the alchemists, but there's a lot of us, and I shall put in a word on your behalf. You can depend on that. My lad George here will be down later on with the invitations for you to deliver. Now you're back in business. It will be a great honour for me, my boy, if you would shake me by the end."
He thrust out a huge hand. Moist took it, and old habits died hard. Firm grip, steady gaze.
"Ah, you're an honest man, all right," said Parker. "I'm never mistaken."
He clapped his hand on Moist's shoulder, causing a knee joint to crunch.
"What's your name, lad?"
Lipvig, sir. Moist von Lipvig," Moist said. He was afraid he'd gone deaf in one ear.
"A von, eh?" said Parker. "Well, you're doing damn well for a foreigner, and I don't care who knows it. Got to be going now. Aggie wants to buy fripperies."
The woman came up to Moist, stood on tiptoe and kissed him on the cheek.
"And I know a good man when I see one," she said. "Do you have a young lady?"
"What?" "No, not at all. No," said Moist.
"I'm sure you shall," she said, smiling sweetly. "And while we're very grateful to you, I would advise you to propose in person. We do so much look forward to seeing you on Saturday."
Moist watched her scurry away after her long-lost swain.
"You delivered a letter?"
said Groat, horrified. "Yes, Mr. Groat. I didn't mean to, but I just happened to be—"
"You took one of the old letters and you delivered it?"
said Groat, as if the concept was something he could not fit in his head.
His head was all over the wall.
Moist blinked.
"We are supposed to deliver the mail, man. That's our job, remember?"
"You delivered a letter?"
breathed Groat.
"What was the date on it?"
"I can't remember. More than 40 years ago."
"What was it like? Was it in good condition?"
Groat insisted. Moist glared at the little postman. A small crowd was forming around them, as was the Ankh-Morpork way.
"It was a 40-year-old letter and a cheap envelope," he snarled. "And that's what it looked like. It never got delivered, and it upset the lives of 2 people. I delivered it, and it's made 2 people very happy. What is the problem, Mr. Groat?"
"Yes, what is it?"
This was to a woman who was tugging at his sleeve.
"I said, is it true you're opening the old place again?" she repeated. "My granddad used to work there."
"Well done him," said Moist.
"He said there was a curse," said the woman, as if the idea was rather pleasing.
"Really?" said Moist. "Well, we do not believe in going crazy in the postal service, do we, Mr. Groat?" He stopped. Mr. Groat had the expression of one who did believe in going crazy.
"You daft old woman!" Groat yelled. "What do you have to tell him that for?"
"Mr. Groat," snapped Moist. "I wish to speak to you inside." He grabbed the old man by the shoulder and very nearly carried him through the amused crowd, dragged him into the building and slammed the door. "I've had enough of this," he said. "Enough of dark comments on mutterings, do you understand? No more secrets. What's going on here? What went on here? You tell me right now, or..." The little man's eyes